Hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. And now, here's Christine. Say a little hi.
Hi, Julie. This is Christine Marie.
Well, I was going to say at this moment, I throw my headphones off because too much.
You do.
It's too distracting, but I need to hear that we're literally being, you know, on at
You just
that
can't
moment.
Do everything at once.
I can't do it. Well, my brain no longer multitasks.
Right.
I used to be so proud of myself for multitasking, but the older I get, I no longer can multitask. Mm-hmm. And then I hear about how your brain does better if you don't multitask.
Yeah, no.
So I'm just saying, my brain's just doing better.
Yeah, the research is showing that.
Yeah.
It's just one thing at a time.
One thing at a time, done to completion, then move on.
Your mama was right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mama's always right.
Mama always right.
And that's what I keep telling myself. It makes life a lot easier. Mama's right. She's always right. So who are we?
We're
Christine Marie and Julie. We're your certified love attraction coaches, prosperity guides. You're a psychotherapist. I'm an educator, getting my master's. Woohoo! Can't wait. That's my goal. And we're loving life. And really, we wrote the book, The Clutterfly Effect.
We wrote the book.
The Clutterfly Effect.
That's right.
Tweak your way, a total transformation by decluttering your life. Mm-hmm. But really, it's about tweaking your life almost every day. There are so many times when you forget to tweak your life and you kind of slide backwards and you're like, oh, my life just feels a little bit.
How did that happen?
Huh. And then you go, okay, yeah. Where am I heading?
Everybody's saying now, like, you got to stay on top of things.
Right.
If you don't stay on top of things, if you don't get ahead of it even,
right,
not just
exactly.
Staying on top, being ahead of it, you really slide backwards fast.
Yeah.
And that is true.
Yeah, and we're learning more and more about that, about keeping ahead of things,
right?
Creating a buffer around your life.
Right.
And what I mean by that is creating space. So many times we get ourselves trapped in these small boxes,
mm-hmm.
that everything has to go perfectly for it to work out.
And how often does that happen?
Zero.
Right.
And when you set yourself up for that kind of success, that everything has to be perfect
to make it,
there's no joy in life.
No.
And you end up failing.
In fact, it's like a joy sucker.
Right. And so you have the fear of failure, you have the fear of success, and it's just all crazy. But what we like to do is like to talk about our lives and how we can become better through fun, through joy, because we have a good time here.
We sure
do.
And
it's a Sunday night, and why not have a good time?
That's right.
And so our show is always divided into three parts. The first part, we talk about the week, and we're going to talk about the Olympics and we're this time, and we're going to talk about Ryan Lochte and... Oh, my gosh. And Steele Johnson as well, because
yes.
I just love that guy's name.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about Elliot's Corner, where we share stories about pets, you know, Elliot's
and
our
Elliot's
dog.
Our Wheaton Terrier, a little
and
puppy.
And what we can learn from our pets. And then finally, we have our last segment called Pillar Talk. And that's where we really go into coaching, and we take apart an area of life that affects our pillars, you know, our relationships, our careers, all those pillars, our health. And this week we're going to talk about Tony Robbins. I saw mm-hmm. him on Oprah.
Yes.
I've gotten his courses. I've read his books. Mm-hmm. I love Tony Robbins.
Yes.
And I want to talk about him a little bit and how now, because I've looked him up just recently, I'm just getting inundated through the internet about his California event happening in November.
Oh, okay.
And how, I got three more days to pay for my event to get
30%
off.
You're going to walk on coals?
I want to talk about that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and a little bit about what he finds, what love is, not an action, but a verb.
Mm-hmm.
No, not a feeling, but an action.
Right, right.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But first off, I want to talk about this week or the last couple weeks with the Olympics and how inspiring it's been and how crazy it's been.
Right, right.
And how
everything's been crazy, right? It's just been crazy.
It's been a nice distraction from the election.
Right.
Because we really have said, I'm done with the election.
Yeah, we have a news blackout.
Right. A couple weeks ago, we made this commitment, maybe a week ago, because you had been going crazy with CNN and Fox and listening to them both. And I would walk in and I would think,
it's schizophrenia.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how two people could see the exact same thing
right.
and have such different views.
Right.
And so that's been weird.
Yeah.
But having this break has been lovely. But it's also been crazy because it kind of it seeps in, you know. We'll listen to WGN radio and Ro.
Right.
We'll talk about what Trump has said for the day and right. how crazy this is.
Right.
And we're like, oh, that's right. Yeah, we have a Republican nominee that is just kind of crazy. I don't get it. Or very media savvy. And I've always thought that our president should be the best of the best.
Yes.
I'm not saying there always are. I'm not talking about their policies because I think it's the hardest job in the whole wide world.
Except for being a mom.
Yeah, except for being a mom. But you're not nominated.
That's true.
You know, if you all had to be nominated to be a mom, I wonder if we would. I wonder if anybody would be ever nominated to be a mom. Like, you know, I don't know.
Pedro for president.
Exactly. So let's go back to the Olympics because I do want to talk about the election and presidential candidates because I heard something about Barack Obama this week.
Yeah,
President Obama.
Very good, yes.
I want to talk about that. Okay, so first off, I just want to say I have been completely inspired by the Olympics like I usually am. What they've given up, you know, to do these things. Mm-hmm. I also think...
And what their parents have given up.
And what their families have given
yes.
up.
Yes. It's so sweet to see the families in the stands, you know, just...
And there was this one swimmer who literally has said, I'm only here because of my posse. And he meant literally like 100 people. Like this group of 100 people, they fundraise for him. I think he got a bronze or a silver in mm-hmm. some swimming event. I can't mm-hmm. remember his name. Mm-hmm. And their team somebody. And it was so sweet because it just wasn't his parents, mm-hmm. wasn't his siblings. Mm-hmm. It was this community
yeah.
from his town
yeah.
that... You know, raise money for him because it's not cheap to go. It's not cheap to train. You know, he probably wasn't the top of the cream of the crop to
correct,
get
right.
endorsements,
right?
And so forth. And it's so nice to see what these family members mm-hmm. and friends go through to mm-hmm. support these mm-hmm. these athletes.
There are these heroes out there
yeah.
that are just, you know, unsung.
Right.
You don't hear about them. You don't. But daily they get up and they do their. They stop
right.
and they support.
And it was kind of nice because we were kind of for, what is that? What is the law of Kevin Bacon for?
6 degrees of separation?
Yes, from Kevin Bacon. Well, I don't know about that necessarily from Kevin Bacon, but certainly we were like 3 degrees separated from one of the swimmers,
right.
which is kind of nice. A friend of Doug's, his nephew, was one of the swimmers in the relay race.
Mm-hmm.
And... He was the youngest one, and he was the one that cried on the
yeah,
podium
yeah.
and just couldn't contain it one
right.
day. He's 19 years
yeah.
old, and he was from Springfield, Illinois.
Right.
And he just, like, let it out and cried. It
yeah.
was so sweet. And he became a hero because of it,
yeah.
or for that day or two.
For that moment.
People go, oh, my God, he's crying. It's
yeah.
so sweet. You can tell
yeah.
how affected he was.
Right.
Because all the other swimmers, I think, had been on the podium before.
Sure.
And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't their first rodeo. And so it was kind of sweet to see that. Mm-hmm. And then we had the divers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it partner diving? What do they call it?
I don't know.
Synchronized diving, something like that.
It's more fun to watch the doggies do it.
Yes. On that one State Farm commercial?
Yes.
Yes. The synchronized swimming doggies. Mm-hmm. What do they call that? They call it, instead of mermaids, they call it mermuts.
Mermuts?
Mermuts.
Muts.
Yeah,
oh,
instead of
my
mermaids.
Gosh.
Oh, that's those State Farm commercials,
love
I swear.
Them.
Love them.
Yeah, they're worth every penny.
They've done a great
whoever,
job with those.
Whoever their advertising company
100%.
Has got them.
I still like, my
it.
Favorite one is a stag
the
party.
The stag party, yeah.
And they turn the lights on, and you have all these deer in your backyard, in the pool. But your favorite one is it's the fire of, you remember that?
The doggy.
Yeah, where it catches the
oh, yeah,
house on fire.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of fun stuff. Okay, back to the
back
Olympics.
To the, yeah.
So there's our diving duo that got a silver. They came mm-hmm. up behind the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a fabulous job. All right, we had some technical difficulties. So I don't know where we left off, but here we are. We had a little technical difficulties
with
right
my
there.
My mama's mouth.
But anyway, so here's we are. Here's the odds at right now. Here's the point of what I'm trying to get about talking about our divers.
Right.
I'm fascinated. This is a sport, first of all. I'm also fascinated with our team. can't remember the first guy's name. The second guy, who's the newest partner, his name is Steele Johnson.
Right.
And nobody commented on this guy's name that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But what an awesome effing name.
Right.
And I first thought, first of all, he is a man of steel. Because they got no fat anywhere. They're wearing the littlest briefs possible. Mm-hmm. And they are shaved from head to toe. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they had to be shaved, but I guess that's part of the look.
But that's his birth name, though, Steele Johnson.
Yes. Steele Johnson. Now, in my mind, I thought to myself, this is a great porn name.
Yes.
Like, awesome porn name.
Yes.
And it's his real name. And then he says something like this. They ask him, how are you doing being your first Olympics? How are you enjoying the experience? And then he says this. He goes, oh, I'm having a great time. My identity is in Christ. And I'm just here to have a good time and do the best I can. I'm like, man. I'm thinking this is not your porn name.
That's all your fantasies.
Unless there is Christian porn out there. And I'm wondering if what that would look like. Wouldn't it be interesting?
I'm like dumbfounded right
you,
now.
Yeah,
Julie.
You gave me the Bauga hotlines. Like, what did you just say, Christian porn? I'm just saying, I don't know what that would look like.
I don't either.
I'm just curious. I don't know. But so I'm guessing it's not his porn name, but what an awesome name. Mm-hmm. Good going, parents, for naming him Steele Johnson. Awesome. Yeah. Man, Steele. Yeah. How could he not be?
What do they say, though? Your poor name is. The name of your first pet.
Yes.
And the street that you first lived on.
And
do you remember?
It goes, so like, your pet's name is your last name, I think, mm-hmm. and your street that you lived on is your first name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be Addison Henry. I'm like, that's not horrible. Oh, that's horrible.
I would be 18th and Blackie.
Or no, just 18th Blackie.
18th Blackie.
That's a very odd porn name. That almost comes across as like a porn name for like a gangbang or something like that. Or, you know, one of those line up like you're having some kind of contest or something.
Right.
But let's get off the porn subject. I don't know how much I can learn from that.
Especially the idea of Christian porn.
Yeah.
Like, mama, no, it's okay, mama. It's Christian porn.
Well, what is that?
Oh, okay, honey.
We keep our clothes on.
Yeah.
It's just all simulated. I don't know. Who knows? But and then we have to talk about the controversy going on with the swim team.
Right.
You know, Brazil has had their own problems through this Olympics.
Heck yeah.
They've had lots of water issues.
Right.
And they've had, poop in the water. And they've had water turn green on them in the diving competition, which means you can't see them dive underwater.
Yeah.
So they've had their own issues. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't need to have this other controversy, which was Ryan Lochte mm-hmm. was going out with his bros from the mm-hmm. from the team, mm-hmm. From the swim team, and somehow got held up at gunpoint. And
mugged and robbed.
And then the story just blossomed in this incredible, like, mm-hmm. oh, it's not safe in Rio. And, mm-hmm. you know,
that was their first mistake, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should have just kept their effing mouth shut. And then to find out now what really happened was.
And this is still evolving.
It's still evolving. Mm-hmm. And it really is an embarrassment for the swim team. But I don't call it a big embarrassment. I just think it's an embarrassment for these four guys mm-hmm. or three guys mm-hmm. because they're just obviously stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know where their brain cells are at, mm-hmm. but
left them in the water, honey.
Yeah, I remember Dad was talking about, he was talking to this one principal, and he says, the group of kids I fear most are when you get four or five, like, 16-year-old boys together with mm-hmm. nothing to do,
mm-hmm.
because they will just get into the weirdest shit, mm-hmm. you know, just because. Mm-hmm. I can see these four guys just coming off of a good race, you know, feeling pumped, full of testosterone, feeling kind of cool, you know, and then having to go to the bathroom, supposedly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't open the bathroom door, so one guy kicks in the bathroom door because he's all cool, right? This is what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do their stuff. Who knows where? I hear it's not even in the toilet. It's mostly like on the wall or something. But they do damage. They tear down some posters. They just really are razzle roofers or what do you call
those damn razzle roofers?
What's the word?
Are you meaning rabble rousers? No, I like the Razzle Roofers better.
The Razzle Roofers.
Yeah.
And then security was called, and they put a gun to their head and put a gun, you know, showed them their gun, saying,
"Oh wow!"
And so, basically, they wanted to stop being jerky.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into they were being held up, and so they were both right. I can imagine our swim team being kind of jerky,
mm-hmm.
and then not realizing what was going down, because mm-hmm. maybe, you know, they were speaking Portuguese, because I think in Brazil they speak Portuguese, I'm thinking.
When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio de Janeiro.
Exactly. So I think that's what happened. And so I think they're both right. I think that our swim team could think that at that brief moment, oh, we're being held up.
Mm-hmm.
And
somebody pulled guns on us.
Yeah, and wants money from us. Like, You lousy American swimmers, stop doing what you're doing and just leave. And, you know, supposedly they had to give them some money for the damage they caused. And that
turned into being mugged at gunpoint.
Exactly, at gunpoint.
To be continued. I have no idea.
Oh, exactly.
But you know what? They should have known their manners at this point. I don't care how drunk they were or whatever.
Oh, for sure.
You got to remember you're in a different foreign country.
Oh, for sure. And I'm sure that they were taught this. I'm sure that our athletes go through some sort of ethics or morals thing
yes.
about saying how to behave well and represent your country well in a foreign country.
Right.
You know?
Right.
This is what you should not do. Even though I've heard stories about the Olympic Village and how crazy it gets with all those athletes after they're done with their races.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the races have already been done, and they have a whole other week mm-hmm. of doing nothing but hanging mm-hmm. out in the Olympic Village,
mm-hmm.
enjoying each other in
right,
some sense.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's just the rumor that I've heard. And since I've never been an Olympian, I don't know what that's like.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. Have you ever thought about being an Olympian when you were growing up? Was that ever a dream?
No, it never was a dream. Never. I mean, I wasn't that talented in anything, you know,
right.
gymnastics. But when you see like the Simones,
yeah.
the
Gabby,
they
yeah.
literally fly.
Yeah.
They're literally not of this world.
No.
You know, that's how amazing they are. And
they
every
defy
little
gravity.
Curve of their body is perfect. And,
right.
You know, it's yeah. like, you know, I'm in awe when I watch that.
Yeah.
I'm in awe when I watch that.
I can't even go there. I was surprised when I first learned that there is a bouncing thing in the floor mat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a slight spring.
Mm-hmm.
And that made sense to me because I used to think
yes.
that they were just,
yeah.
oh my gosh, this is
right.
crazy. Who
right.
can do this? So they defy gravity, but not as much as I used to think.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally agree with you. I remember when, didn't Gina Davis go to the Olympics one
right.
time?
And archery.
I remember, yeah, I thought to myself, if Gina Davis at an adult age could go in the Olympics, what can I do? And you know.
So is that going to be your new goal, Julie?
I have too many goals to even focus on that.
Yeah.
I still
get your master's degree yeah. and go to the Olympics.
I still only have like 10 chords on the ukulele I can play.
Right.
That's about it. I wanted to have more than that. So, no, but, you know, it was like the first time when I saw, what's that winter sport? Where they take the broom and the little thing that slides on the ice.
Yeah.
You
what
know,
is that? Curling?
Curling.
Yeah.
I was going to say curdling.
Curling.
Curling.
Yeah.
Well, I saw that for the first
Those
time.
Those Ravel Roofers in their curdling.
I literally thought, maybe.
You have a chance.
I have a chance to be in the Olympics. If this is a sport,
yeah.
I maybe have a chance if
That's
I just
right.
put all my time in it. That did not want to put all my time in that.
We'll find a posse for you, Julie.
Thank you.
100 people to support
group.
You in your curling dream.
Oh, that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. I have a fundraiser page for that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. So, girlfriend, before we go on to Elliot's Corner, do you have any movie reviews you want to say?
No movie reviews this week.
We've done this movie review in the past.
Okay.
And you didn't give it a good enough review.
Okay.
You know, okay, so we don't give you the movies that have come out just now most of the
time.
Oh, no. These are movies that you may see on HBO.
Right.
Which I got for free. And you rented this movie about 4 months ago called Spy.
Right.
With Melissa
right.
McCarthy.
Right.
And I think you said it was okay.
Right.
I saw the last 80 minutes of that movie, 90 minutes of the movie.
The last 90?
Yes.
Was that like the whole movie?
No, it wasn't the whole movie. I laughed so hard through most of the movie.
Right.
I gave it 3.5 Sherpa hats.
Wow.
Yes. So wow. I would suggest seeing Spy.
I must not have been in a great mood when I saw that.
Also, I saw Trainwreck when you... Trainwreck?
Yes.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
You didn't like it.
I didn't like that one
And
either.
I saw the first 35, 40 minutes of Trainwreck, and I laughed my ass off,
loved
too.
It. You loved
but
it.
But did not see the whole movie.
Right.
I give that 2.5 Sherpas.
All right.
Possibly 3.
I mean, but, I give 4 Sherpa hats just to John Cena.
Yes, because he was the funniest thing in that movie.
Yes, yes.
So far,
right.
He is the funniest thing in that movie.
Yeah.
I'll see the rest of the movie sometime. And I'll let you know on the other half.
Yeah, you know, make sure you stay tuned every week because, you know, this is important stuff.
Exactly. The life of a busy person. I got a hold of 35 minutes of Spy and Trainwreck in 50, so.
And we're still willing to give it some Sherpa hats.
Yeah. So are
that's
you
how good we are.
You ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
Yes, I am, ma'am.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
All right, here we are, Elliot's Corner.
Thank you for playing your ukulele.
You're
girlfriend.
Welcome.
It's so sweet.
And we like to say, like, what can we learn from our dogs? Just like Shirley MacLaine said to Oprah Winfrey, you know, you can learn so much from your animals. I learn a lot from Elliot. He teaches me something every day. And a lot of times he teaches me how to be more disciplined.
Right.
Because he's a great dog. I love him.
He's the love of our lives.
Yeah. He's a great dog, but he's always had bathroom issues.
Mm-hmm.
Never been really perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Never really cared to be really perfect.
No, he just is, he's not mindful of it at all. He's like a free bird.
Yes.
And he just likes to frolic.
Yeah, and I remember taking him to the Borders when he was less than a year old. And I think it was like 7 or 8 months maybe. And they had a discussion with me afterwards saying, mm-hmm. we would walk him for 20 minutes. We would bring him back in and he would pee in his crate
mm-hmm.
Or his cage.
Right.
I said, well, that is
That's
him.
Elliot.
I don't know why. You're going to have to work on that. I'm like, well, tell me what that means to work on
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
And so we have made a commitment because he's 90% good.
Right.
But when you're talking about potty training, it's pass fail.
Yeah.
You know, 90% good ain't good enough.
No, it's you're either competent or you're not.
Exactly. And so he's been failing. So we've been upping our ante.
Right.
And I'm going to share what we've been doing. We've had to be crating him more.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes out every 2 hours. And if he goes to the bathroom, he can frolic for an hour. And if he doesn't go to the bathroom, he goes back right back in his crate.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't go to the bathroom in his crate, which is grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, we were doing well. We've had like 5 or 6 days without an incident. And it was dinner time. And usually what we have to do for dinner is we give him his dog food. We put him in his crate. And then we have our dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And this one time, we just got lazy. Or we thought, oh, you know what? He's had 5 good days. Maybe we broke this habit. And we let him frolic while we had dinner. And I saw him run from the Four Seasons room. And I knew exactly what he did. He went to the bathroom of the Four Seasons room. Didn't pee, but took a nice size.
He's taken man dumps lately.
Yes.
He takes man whizzes and man dumps.
He's
a little puppy.
Really? Well, he's not a little puppy. He's 40 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Puppy,
he's
like,
a little guy, though.
Little guy. Little
he's just
cute
my guy.
Guy. Yeah. And I just... And I go, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this? First of all, never let up.
Right.
And that's the key
that's
about
true.
Tweaking anything in your life. When you're moving forward in your life,
mm-hmm.
if you start letting off the tension a little bit, mm-hmm. you slide backwards.
You go backwards fast.
And so the shame, the guilt that I felt over him going to the bathroom of the house, mm-hmm. I was just horrified. It was just horrible.
Yeah.
And so, like, realizing I got to do better. You know, we've got our system in play. Mm-hmm. He goes in the crate right after dinner. Then he goes out and he does his business.
Right.
He has to stay in his crate at nighttime. And
that he does not like.
And here's why I've learned.
But he's getting used to it.
He's getting used to it. But mm-hmm. here's why I've learned. The resistance to all this is really an emotional mind resistance. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything horrible. Mm-mm. You know, the dog has a great life. We play with him. He goes out and has fun with his friends. You know, he's got a huge life for a dog. So he has to be crated a little more. Mm-hmm. And he has to sleep in his crate at night.
Right.
But it's an emotional resistance because I want
him. On our part.
Yeah. I want him to be able to sleep on the sofa.
Right.
Don't tell me I'm a bad parent for letting him sleep on the sofa. But he just seems so comfortable.
He doesn't shed. He loves it.
No. He sleeps on his back. He looks so comfortable.
He lays on his back, all four paws up.
Yeah. He's a good dog. But I know that we deserve to have a house where we can trust our dog not to go to the bathroom in it.
Right.
And I don't know if we'll ever get to that place where he doesn't have to be crated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it 31 days? Is it 60 days without an incident?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know,
saying.
I mean,
yeah.
How long will it take?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what if it never happens?
Right.
Then this is just the new
it's
norm.
It's just the new norm, yeah.
And I remember someone was talking about their puppy, and they go, oh, yeah, we crated our puppy. We crate trained him as a puppy. And I'm like, what does that mean exactly, mm-hmm. crate trained him? Mm-hmm. What did you do? And basically, he was in the crate
All the time. Yeah.
Unless he wasn't. And he wasn't when he went to the bathroom. And sometimes they were in the crate 10, 11 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, being home, working from home, doing this stuff,
right.
It just felt torture as a puppy to have him in a crate.
Right.
And now I realized it would have been a benefit.
Right.
It would have been beneficial.
Right.
To crate it, to train his little bladder.
I mean, we're just totally, we're different.
We are different. And you have to realize who you are.
Yeah.
But I do know now that once you let off on that tension and you slide back, you can't do it.
No.
You can't do it. It's sort of like my sugar thing. You know, everybody knows I gave up sugar. And I had about a week where I was just kind of getting back into sugar. Not like it was before. It started off with Hillary's shower where mm-hmm. I made all these cupcakes and cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some of those. And then they were around the next day and then the next day. And then all of a sudden, I had sugar every day. And I'm like, wait a minute. And so I had to recommit again to saying I'm not having any sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to recommit again because I was allowing myself to have sugar in weird ways, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before bed.
Mm-hmm.
What? There's no point in that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no point in
that.
Isn't
that funny how we just find those ways to...
Yes. And either you're keeping a promise to yourself mm-hmm. or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
It's so true. Jack Canfield said, it's so difficult to keep a promise 99% of the time.
Yes.
But just do 100 and you're done. You know,
you're done.
It's like
99% is torture because you're always debating that 1%.
Right.
And that 1% then is debated all day long.
Right.
But either it's a decision that you've made, conscious decision you've made to not do it or do something or not.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jack, in one of his success principles, Jack Canfield talked about this one professor that would only allow himself sugar, something sweet, once a month on a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And one time he was having a retirement party or something, and it wasn't on a full moon. And everybody knew his policy, no sugar except on a full moon. And so they brought out this fake full moon, you know, and it was supposed to be this big thing. And he just said, no, I'm not going to do it because I break this promise.
Mm-hmm.
What are promises am I going to break for mm-hmm. myself?
Yeah. And why do it?
And why do it?
Mm-hmm.
It never is as good as you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy to open that door.
Oh, it is. With any of the behaviors you're trying to tweak.
Yeah.
And I remember I had texted you saying, oh, Mom, I got to stop. This week has been just crazy. I'm in the sugar again. And you texted me back and you said, your future self is crying. Oh, no, you said weeping.
Weeping.
Your future self is weeping. I'm like, oh,
thanks, Mom.
You under the belt, bitch, you know. Just hit a girl where it counts, you know. And so I threw it all away.
You did.
I did. I threw it all away. Mm-hmm. Screw it.
And you did it for your future self.
I did it for my future self.
Yeah.
Because my future self doesn't want to weep.
That's right. She's like, thanks, Julie. I'm like,
you know, the past is over, right? And we live in the present moment. We've been working on being more mindful in our present moment, bringing in more joy.
Right.
But truly, those decisions you make in the present moment are the ones that affect your future self.
So true.
And so there's that balance.
Mm-hmm.
You want to just put the past behind you. Your past self, just let it be.
Right.
Just let it be.
Right.
But your future self, you want to attend to.
Right.
Because every decision you make in the present moment affects your future self.
Trying to think, there was this quote that I used to have in the 70s. I think yesterday is already a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope.
And you have no idea who said that?
No.
Because that's beautiful.
Is it? It might be Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I don't really know.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Isn't it
true?
It was like one of my, I had that quote in our house in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Is it?
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, do you want to do a little pillar talk?
Come on, Doris Day. Let's hear you sing.
There's our pillar talk, song by Doris Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about Tony Robbins. I love him.
We love him.
I love him because I think I aspire.
We just love that big goofy guy.
Yeah, I aspire to be kind of like him, but I think he's a type A personality.
Mm-hmm.
And his type A is dealing with his mission of helping people
live
better lives.
Right.
And that's my mission too, but I'm like a type B or C personality. So I'm more like, let me just chill a little bit.
You're like the Perry Como.
Yeah, there you go. I guess.
You don't even know who Perry Como is.
He sang White Christmas?
No, that's Bing Crosby.
Oh.
But Perry Como was this, he was a singer, but he was just like known for being like way laid back.
Way laid back.
Chill pill.
I would like to be way laid back. Speaking of way laid back, I'm going to bring something in when I talked about President Obama,
yes,
because this kind of goes with where I want to talk about being laid back.
Right.
I was watching on HBO Any Given Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We just got HBO for free, so mm-hmm. I have no idea who the cast members are.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the announcer, and he was interviewing one of the speech writers for President Obama,
mm-hmm.
who no longer works for him,
mm-hmm.
And so forth. But I swear, I thought he said John Favreau.
Really?
And it wasn't John Favreau.
Yeah.
But it looked kind of like John Favreau.
Way.
So I wonder if it was a relation. I don't think it was, but mm-hmm. I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I took from this, I don't care what you think about his politics. That's not the point.
Yeah, let's just get to the meat of it.
He said, the speechwriter said, President Obama is the calmest man I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
He has the most peace about him. He has the most patience. Patience with you. I've never heard him raise a voice.
Mm-hmm.
His voice. He doesn't get caught up in the daily problems.
Right.
He knows where he's always heading.
Right.
And he never gets caught up in the daily problems.
You know, when you told me that, I could feel the energy of that.
Yeah.
It felt like it's this breath of fresh air. Because there are moments where the dailiness, you know, the details start creeping up on you. All of a sudden, you're gritting your jaw, and you know,
yes.
And all of a sudden you're snapping at
yes.
people you don't want to snap at. And this idea that there could be this conscious temperament
100%.
That would just choose peace, choose patience.
Yes.
You know, choose fresh air around you, you know.
And I have been, we all have been striving for that lately.
Yes.
Because I have been noticing that my feathers will get ruffled. I try not to get offended by people.
Right.
I mean, I really don't get offended by people.
Right.
But
you really, of everybody I know, you don't.
But I do get flustered.
Mm-hmm.
And my voice does get raised.
Right.
And I just don't want that anymore.
Right.
And if the President of the United States can be even-tempered
right.
and have patience with everything, well, I can strive for that more.
We can strive for that.
I mean, I'm certainly not dealing with what he's dealing with.
And that is, even in this whole campaign thing, one of the things that I knew even before I even really knew who Trump was he came across to me as prickly.
Right.
Like he couldn't take the heat. Like everything
exactly.
just got under his...
Right.
And I was like, well, that's not what you want
in a
leader,
no.
you know? You want somebody that's just like, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue, you know, whatever.
And you want a president that people aren't afraid to come with the truth, you know?
Right.
I can't tell him the truth because he's going to react in a certain way.
Right.
Well, the president needs to know the truth about everything right. and then make the best decision possible or get more information right. or whatever.
Right.
I remember President Barack Obama was being interviewed by Mark Maron on his podcast. Mm-hmm. And Mark Maron goes, so are you nervous about being on my podcast? He's like, no.
Wait, what?
Wait, yeah. He was almost embarrassed for the question. Mm-hmm. He goes, the American people, the American public would not want a president who would be nervous about going on a podcast.
Right.
I'm like, boom, that's right.
Right.
I don't want a president that can't stand up to a little bit of heat.
Right.
You know, or any kind of just, you know, come anything, on.
Right.
So I want to aspire to more, to be more like that.
Mm-hmm. I do too, Jillian.
And I'm working on it. And the other day I was in the kitchen and Elliot was under my feet and I didn't know he was under my feet and I stepped on his paw and he hollered. And the first thing came out of my mouth was, you know, the GD word. God
right.
damn it. You know, like, oh, and you just go, oh, I don't want to say that. It's right. silly. But it's the first thing that comes out of my mouth sometimes.
Right, right.
And I need to practice. I'm practicing it daily. And I get these reminders. You know, my soul has set up these reminders that I see and I'm aware of, like, oh, you want to be more patient.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that line when, you know, it says, God, give me more patience.
And I want it now.
I want it now. Mm-hmm. Or then all of a sudden you're given experiences
yeah.
where you're meant to be patient.
Right.
And you're like, screw this. I don't want patience at all. If you're going to give me more stresses, mm-hmm. I just want to deal with my life as it is.
I should do this. This would be a good time to do a Sherpa hat review of that movie, Nurse, She's Losing Her Patience. Sorry.
And how many Sherpa hats was it?
Not even one.
Not even one. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. Okay. So going back to Tony Robbins and Oprah. A couple of things that I thought were excellent. He talked about how he does his 10-minute meditation thing.
Mm-hmm. In the morning, anytime?
Okay. In the morning, first thing, typically, but you can do it anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he spends 3 to 4 minutes taking, deep breathing or varying mm-hmm. his breathing,
mm-hmm.
focusing on 3 or 4 things he feels grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And he says they're very common things because you don't want to have them be, things that can only happen once in a lifetime.
Right.
But your kids,
yeah.
your home,
yeah.
your nature,
right.
things like that. And then he spends 3 to 4 minutes with deep breathing, really visualizing what he wants to see completed in the next 6 to 12 months.
Mm, that's beautiful.
And by varying his breath, by yeah. meditating on what he's grateful for, by thinking about what he wants accomplished next 6 mm-hmm. to 12 months, he changes his state. And he goes, from these points of state, you make better decisions.
Right.
When you feel overwhelmed, when you feel worried, there is always the right decision or the right state. When you feel good, you make the best decision possible.
Right.
And coming like with Barack Obama, when you are at peace
right.
and not like, oh, everything's such a big ordeal.
Right.
When you're overwhelmed, you make decisions based on being overwhelmed.
Right.
And when you're at peace, it's like, okay, well, there's one thing I can do today, and this is the one thing I will do today.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, too, that you mentioned about the visualization is that we know now that if you add visualizations
right.
and deep breathing and consciousness to any kind of success practice, it increases your odds like
yes.
45% or something
right.
of actually achieving that.
Right. For sure. I mean, so those are great odds.
Yes.
And so it's the action plus it's the to keep yourself going through the action, mm-hmm. you want to be in the right state.
Right.
Because we can throw up resistance all the time. Our mind can play tricks on us all the time. Here's an example. Like, Doug, I always love it when he tells me, like, what is your goal? What do you want for your future?
He says that to you?
No, to me. I say it to him.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, I want to make enough money so I don't have to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you don't have to work anymore now if you don't want to. You just can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are people who feel so stressed out about life, they want to disengage. Like, that's
right.
their goal. I've got to
right.
do all this
yeah.
so I can disengage.
Well, I can remember that one time we had that one teacher. And we enjoyed her classes and stuff. And the first thing she did was when she kind of got, quote unquote, popular, is she no longer taught.
Yes.
And had other people teach. And it was just like, well, yeah.
and it was just different.
Yeah.
And that was what she wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You like, you want to do all that just to not work.
Not to work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what, really? Okay, interesting. But I do believe when you come to those states, and we've been talking about that, mm-hmm. There are always so many things going on in our lives. Everybody's lives are complicated. And new things come in that take our attention. And old things have to go away. And the decision is always right there if you come from a calmer place. Mm-hmm. Not a place of everything has to be rushed, mm-hmm. hurried. If you can sit and relax and get to a positive state, mm-hmm. a state of gratitude, a state of love, appreciation, there is a next step that you can redefine. What do I really want to have happen? Mm-hmm. What is my action plan to get there? Mm-hmm. What can I do right now? And worry and stress, we talk about giving your cares to Jesus or mm-hmm. to God. Mm-hmm. Worries and stress never make...
for a good decision?
Never.
Yeah.
Worries and cares never make for a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
I was stressed. I said, well, stress could be is an interesting word. Because a little pressure in your life
mm-hmm.
kind of keeps the flame burning.
Mm-hmm.
Too much pressure, you make bad decisions depending on who you are.
And you burn down the house.
And you burn down the house, right. Don't want that. Don't want to go up in flames. So stress is just that, it's that, you know, mm-hmm. you had to really find that nice balance.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of pressure is good.
I'll tell you what, though. It's easy to talk about, but worry is a habit.
Yes.
And it is something that is worth working on.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, even when I was a kid, my parents would say, here's how you handle life. You imagine the worst case scenario.
Yes.
And then...
if something better happens,
you're lucky.
You're lucky.
So I grew up thinking
right.
about, you know, worrying about everything, really.
And we know, I mean, who wrote Tom?
Will, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Will Rogers?
No.
No, Mark no. Twain.
Huh?
Mark Twain.
That's it. Mark Twain. He said, I've had many cares and many worries.
In my life. Fortunately.
None of them have.
Most of them didn't come true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We know that the worries we have, the cares that we have, don't, most of the time, don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do anything for our soul. They don't do anything to keep us motivated.
Right.
Mostly they keep us paralyzed.
Right.
They keep us in making decisions based on not expansion, but I must hold on to everything
right.
because something bad will effing happen.
Right.
You know, the
well,
world
that's
is
a cool. very good point.
And
it's almost like seeing things going to a dot, like a small
yes.
dot, coming, like crystallizing as opposed to being open and flowing.
Exactly. And on that Oprah interview with Tony Robbins
yeah.
and his wife Sage came on later on.
Uh-huh.
They've been together for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And Tony Robbins talks about love as an action, not a feeling, which
mm-hmm.
I totally get.
Right.
I think if you base love on how you feel, you're setting yourself up for major disappointments because it's just
that's
hormones.
Probably too, like why there's so many divorces.
Yeah.
Because people just go, wait, I don't feel that anymore.
No,
and, well,
obviously don't. You'd burn
yeah.
out if you felt that
yeah.
gooey, ooey love all the time.
Right.
Watch The Housewives of New York. I mean,
yeah.
right now, you know, Luann's in love, crazy ass love, and everybody around her is like, this is nuts. But she couldn't sustain that for
no.
more than a year.
No.
I mean, you can't.
Right.
You'd burn out. But an action, love being an action, you can do that.
Right.
We talk about one of the four cardinal virtues, and one is, I'd rather be kind than right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, love is an action. How can you love someone? How can you love yourself? We all are going to have things go wrong. We all can do everything right, and still things end up wrong.
Right.
It's just life.
Yeah.
But we choose to say, I'm going to take whatever is going on wrong, I'm going to make it better. And it's going to be a blessing.
Right.
That's our belief system.
That's our belief
whatever
system.
Whatever happens,
yeah.
it's a blessing because
right.
we're going to make it a blessing.
Right.
And they were interviewing Sage, and she goes, I care less and love more. And that's my goal. And Oprah's like, well, what do you mean by caring less? And she's like, I would worry about Tony doing these 4-day events. He would just be on stage continuously. It's just him, nobody else,
mm-hmm.
giving it his all, and he would be spent. And I would worry about his health.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, it does nothing for me to worry about him. Mm-hmm. He's not changing his behavior. It's not that. And I stopped worrying. I stopped caring about those things and just decided to love him more, mm-hmm. appreciate him more. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, wow, how many...
what a shift.
Yes.
What a shift.
How many times are we worrying about something mm-hmm. that really, for other people, that we may call it love mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, I love him. I'm concerned about him.
Right, right.
Really? Okay, but... why are you concerned?
Yeah, you know that. It's kind of like the nosy neighbor syndrome, yeah. You know, like, exactly. Oh, just concerned.
And I'm not concerned. Talking about, like, big issues like addiction that really F up a whole family,
right.
You know?
Right,
or even, like, with health issues that people have to deal with as a family unit. Mm-hmm. But even with health issues, you realize it's... you have to come to the point where you're just like, this is all about love. Mm-hmm. Because you got no control over it. You just got to go, it's all about love, no control, just release. And that's how it is. But like with addiction, it's a little bit crazier because sometimes you have to care less and love more, and mm-hmm. that means letting go.
Right.
And you have your certification in addiction counseling.
Yes.
I don't. I've just seen it through other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And know that it could just mess everybody's life up.
Yeah.
And don't do it. Well, you kind of, growing up, you kind of scared the crap out of my brother and I about addiction, you know.
that was my primary parental, yeah. You know, that was my guidance. Scare yes. the crap out of him.
You did. You know, Dad's job was to keep me off the pole. It worked. And your job was to keep us off the drugs, right. Off the pipe. That worked too. You're like, if you take one needle and you're doing heroin, you're going to end up with some, you know, hepatitis C right at the first bat. You know,
and we showed pictures of like nose falling off.
Oh, it was horrible. You just did everything like that. You scared the crap out of us. And it was sort of like those parents.
And we do those rehearsals like, come here, little child.
Yes.
Wouldn't you like some of this drugs? It's free.
Yeah. Oh, we did. We would do role playing.
Yes.
And but it was like those parents who would make their kids drink a whole case of beer if they wanted beer, mm-hmm. and they would throw up and never want beer again, mm-hmm. or they would have to smoke a whole, you know, case of cigarettes or carton, I guess, and they'd throw up and never want cigarettes again. That was what you guys did to us. But we never wanted alcohol or beer. And I don't think Gregory, I mean, I think he drinks a little bit here and there, a beer mm-hmm. here and there, but mm-hmm. I don't think he's a big drinker. Mm-mm. And I just don't like a taste of it. I like the top third of a beer. That's my goal, the top third.
You know, that should be a new brand.
The top third?
The top third. They just come in little tiny. That's yeah. all I want. Just
that's really
third.
All I want. Yeah. If I literally could buy a top third of a beer, mm-hmm. that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I would probably have a beer.
Yeah.
I go, I just want this much beer.
Jill's got, I got a six-pack. A six-pack of top thirds.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so, you know, how does your life improve if you think about caring less and loving more,
right.
every situation in your life,
right.
every situation in your life,
how does it improve? Because I'm doing this as well in terms of just the worry habit.
Yeah,
you know, how do I? Because I've been asking God for a long, long, long time, help me roll this over,
yes.
because I'm a girl who had to from a very, very early age take control. I mean, even when I was in my own family,
yes,
I had to watch my bro. I had to be like in charge. So how do you, you know, be this person who had to do all this and now surrender, yeah. now roll it over to
and
God,
roll it over to God,
yeah.
And
it's a journey.
Do you think your life has improved because of the worry?
No, not at all.
I think that's the first thing.
Right.
To really realize that a lifetime of worry, sorry mm-hmm. for the little belch there, people, mm-hmm. forgive me, didn't help any situation.
And I see worry is more like a control thing.
Right.
Like if I'm worrying about it in the sense that how can I control this?
Well, and it's interesting.
How can I manipulate this? And I no longer.
I'm going to talk a little bit about you right now. But you think because you're worrying that means you care more. Like if you're not worrying,
oh, right.
who else is caring for this?
Right.
when
right that's could, that is I will cop to that.
Yeah, when the truth is doing the work gets a job done just as well as getting the work done and then worrying about it.
Right.
Because you in our family life, you've always taken care of the bills and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you've always done a good job. And then you've added the worry to it.
Yeah.
Like, what happens next month? Like, well, if you look back the last 40 years, you know, the same thing, which mm-hmm. is everything's okay. Mm-hmm. Or the last 10 years or the last 30, you know, whatever it is. So that is not uncommon, I think, to want control mm-hmm. and do a good job. You know, it's just your job. This is mm-hmm. the family responsibility. And then add on that extra layer of mm-hmm. of like, and I'm worrying about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and where do you find that beautiful balance?
Yes.
And I love that she said, care less, love more.
You know? And how do you care more, care less about, how do you love yourself more mm-hmm. during all these things?
Right.
You know, with the law of attraction and quote-unquote bill work or things like that, or any kind of health or whatever, it's always about feeling prosperous, feeling healthy, feeling abundant.
Right.
Doing, and then doing the actions from that.
Mm-hmm. But that's so beautiful what you're saying, because yeah. that makes total sense.
Yes.
You talked about state.
Yeah.
Making a decision from a better state. Making right. a decision from a feeling of peace or prosperity.
And I think peace and prosperity, it gets a little confusing, because I think we got confused with law of attraction, because it always felt like a lie. Like, you pretend you're wealthy.
Yeah.
And then people
there was a
buy.
Lot of, yeah. It was a lot of stuff going around that was not good.
I remember Kenneth Copeland, he was a preacher guy on TV. But mm-hmm. anyway, he said one time when he was growing up, he woke up broke and went to bed prosperous mm-hmm. because he had changed in his mindset.
During that day, his mindset had changed. Yes. Yeah.
Nothing else had changed. Mm-hmm. But he went to
nothing
bed
nothing in his bank
prosperous.
Account. Yeah.
And he made decisions based on that. Mm-hmm. What if you made decisions based not on lack or of fear? I know there are businesses I started, or one in particular, that I did things sometimes out of fear.
Right.
And if I didn't feel that way, I wouldn't have made that decision. And so you realize, you know, basing things out of fear, basing things out of lack, your state
right.
never gets you to that right decision.
Exactly.
So this week, through our pillars, you know, look at your goals. If you don't have any goals, write a few goals down.
Right.
You know, look at your pillars. Take three pillars: your health, your relationships, and, you know, your career, finances. Mm-hmm. And just write a small goal for each one that mm-hmm. might, that you can get done in 6 months to a year.
Right.
Get into that good state. You know, 3 minutes of gratitude, 3 minutes of focusing on that goal, and then come to a place like, what's my first step? Mm-hmm. Not out of lack, but out of gratitude and love and knowing it's going to come true, mm-hmm. coming from that place of victory.
Can I say one thing? I know we're trying to wind up, but I'm remembering a client that we had a while back, and she was always concerned about money, never yes. had this, and we were almost starting to feel, you know, how can we help her? Because yeah. it was terrible. And then finally, I think you said, well, how much debt
are you really in?
She
goes, I don't have any debt.
I don't have any debt.
I can't have any debt. And I had to hang up on her.
But I mean, that was such a revelation
it
to
was.
Me to have that mindset, to yes. feel so broke.
Yes.
To feel so, and whatever had happened, you know.
Right.
And on outside looking in, we were like, oh my God.
She's at such a different position than most people.
Right.
And I understand that I understood what was still going on, and I'm sure she was struggling, quote unquote, you know, but she had thought so harsh
right.
toward her situation.
Right.
And I had the wrong opinion. I had the wrong assumption.
Right.
And so we know, let's get back to feeling better. And tonight, let's go to bed feeling prosperous, mm-hmm. feeling abundant. Mm-hmm. It is completely a mind shift.
It's just a mind shift.
Bob Proctor mm-hmm. said, you know, put your debt on automatic pilot. Mm-hmm. Don't create anymore. Mm-mm. Put it on automatic pilot and then get to making money.
That's right.
You know, and
shift your focus.
Exactly. So go to our website, ChristineMarieAngelou.com. We've got hypnosis is there for sale. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got, go to our book on Amazon. tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life. It's called the Clutterfly Effect.
Of course it is. And, you know, does sleep your way to the top of the morning up yet?
Yeah, it's going to be. So all right. Probably by the time you're hearing this on your podcast, we have a book
and a hypnosis that goes with it. It's awesome.
Exactly. Everyone, have a great night, a great Sunday, have a great week. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, keep on walking, keep on having a good time. Blessings.
You know what, Julie?
Yes.
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.